Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And it is time for the holiday shopping frenzy.
Woo! I know. John, what are you going to buy me for Christmas?
Fruitcake.
Oh, man. I am a fruitcake. I don't need a fruitcake.
We're talking about gifts, not people.
Right, okay. Exactly.
Well, but you know, edible gifts are great.
Yeah.
We have, you know, this is the pecan capital of the world, right? We could do pecan logs or just pecans.
Giving pecan people, bark.
Yeah. Mm. How about shelled pecans? That's a wonderful gift to give this time of the year.
And they're very healthy.
With all your baking and everything that you're doing.
They're heart healthy.
They are.
They sure
they're
are.
Very good for you. Listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about.
But you know that they
price
are.
Is down this year.
Price is down, but if you are buying local pecans, you are also directly contributing back
to our economy,
to our local economy.
That's
too.
Right.
So what better way to showcase El Paso agriculture, or our region planted here in El Paso? So edible gifts, always a great choice
for gardeners. Well, and you know, even if you were going to like bake something that you really like, you know, like maybe you do have a good fruitcake recipe. And so when you do the recipe, then attach the recipe to it as the gift that keeps on giving and that kind of thing. I know my mentee gave me some wonderful candy and I've got to call her and find out what she calls it because I've had to hide it from my husband. Because it is absolutely wonderful. So those are good, thoughtful things. You're giving, you know, from yourself and not just going out and, you know, spending money, which is always a good idea, too, if you want to go buy me, like, garden clothing, for instance, you know. Always
an electric pecan sheller.
There you go.
Yeah.
A pecan sheller would work. That's a really good idea.
I don't know if she has a storage space, though.
Exactly. Or
they aren't that big.
Or maybe I wonder if the pecan shellers would offer a gift card for having your pecan shelled.
Yeah. Well, don't you have that little picker-upper as
Yes.
well?
Yes. Oh, it's a great one. And you can buy that online for a very reasonable amount of money. You just roll it over your yard and it grabs the pecans. It's a great way to harvest.
You're talking about the bag of nut?
Is that what?
Well, is that what it's called?
There's a bag of nut.
Mine is just a round ball that's like heavy-duty wires, and it rolls, and it just grabs the pecans and pick them up, and then you kind of spread them apart and dump them in your bucket, and it
There's one called a bag of nut that is used for a small pecan acreage thing, and it has these little plastic teeth on it, and as you roll across, it catches the teeth, and then as the thing rolls, it has the little forks that pop the pecan loose and it falls in a bin.
Into a bin.
So it collects it for you. So you
that's great.
It's like a mower. You just drive across there and it kicks the pecans into them and you just unload it and go.
And it really takes all the headache out of it. My kids were doing that in Crucistet and working for a pecan grower. Uh-huh. And my daughter borrowed it and brought it home to help me with mine. And I thought, got to have that. So, you know, I went right away and ordered it. And they're not overly expensive. They really are. And it's a great, thing to have, as Denise calls, in our arsenal of tools. And, you know, and tools can get really, really expensive. But you can also, if, you know, somebody on your gift list that wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on you. A nice pair of bypass pruners, though you can certainly get upwards of $50, $60 on those too. But, you know, and it's getting time to be pruning trees, and I think we're going to be talking about that. And, you know, those kinds of things, those your pruning tools, a good pruning saw, loppers, the bypass pruners, all of those things
are
really good in your tools.
I know there's a pretty popular brand, I mean, Corona, that's been around for a long time and sold in, you know, different stores and stuff, and, you know, Felco's, and there's different brands out there, and so.
At different price points.
But just be careful of the real cheapy, and don't stay away from Anvil-type pruners.
Yes, don't do your Anvil pruners.
They just damage the plant
too much. Because you're going to be looking at pruning roses and stuff here before long, and you've got to have bypass pruners for that. And, you know, you talked about that Corona brand. I remember the year in 2009 when I took the class, and we were going to do roses, and I ran out, and I bought a pair of Coronas at one of the Cheapy Charlie stores, and they were really good. I'm still using them. The rubber handles have fallen off. I'd love to know where you can replace those, but they're still my go-to pruners after all this time. So
you can buy the rubber dipping material where you can dip it and put your own handles on
it. Okay, that's what you can get me for Christmas, John. I'll bring you my pruners, and you can dip them in the rubber.
It's like pliers and stuff.
Put them in
sell,
my, you put them in just my dip stocking. It in,
make that, a that sounds like a workshop event here, John. Well, what about gardeners that, you know, maybe a hostess gift that you're looking at? I think you can never go wrong with a live plant. So if you have something that maybe as you're a propagator and you want to give a plant, you know, extend that from your family to another family. Yes. It's a great idea, but there's a lot of choices out in our local grocery stores or garden centers that are out there, and we see everything from amaryllis, paper whites, the Norfolk Island pine, which is great if it doesn't have that stinking glitter
all over
attached
it.
To it. Oh, it just looks horrendous.
Just and don't I'm, plant it out in the yard afterwards.
Yeah, no.
It's not a native.
It's not a native. It won't last.
It's going to be your house plant for the rest of the year, and then it'll be your holiday plant. For
and you
when.
Can always decorate it as a Christmas tree. I recently bought a gorgeous Christmas cactus.
Oh.
And they had them in light pink and the bright rose, you know, bright red and the white. And I think I paid $11 for it.
Oh, my God.
And it is just beautiful. And, of course, that's a succulent, and that's something that keeps on going if you take good care of it. So that would be a really great gift if you're going to somebody's house for a Christmas party or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know what I said, too?
I lived ran a house when I lived in Albuquerque, and a lady had a 75-year-old Christmas cactus. Belonged to her
75.
Mother, and she was up in her 70s, and she had it, and it was still blooming like crazy.
Oh my!
I've seen one that was 30 years old, but not 75. That's amazing.
Right.
I can't keep them alive that long.
I was going to say.
Are your holiday plants disposable plants?
Yes.
I mean, you know, sometimes the poinsettias, you know, sometimes they just kind of like live out their lifespan and. Recycle the pine soil in the nursery can that it came
bougainvilleas, they'd be a great annual here.
Yeah,
exactly. Get them, you'll throw them away. Don't worry if they die during the winter. Get a new one in the spring.
And you could do tropicals, too. You can do some bromeliads, and have an indoor house plant. Stick a little holiday pick in there.
Sure.
Make it a little festive, and you're set. So I think there's a lot of things that you can look at.
Orchids. I mean, people do orchids.
Well, I was thinking about decorating my mother-in-law's tongue, the Sansevieria, with some Christmas lights.
Well, there you go.
Inside because, you know, I'm trying to minimize and I'm a little lazy this year. But there's all sorts of things that you can do. And then you have them for later. Jim's always saying to me, do you really need another plant? And I say, yes, I do. Don't bother me about
the collection.
Things.
It's a living collection.
There's new ones that come out all the time.
All the
there's
time.
New plants found.
Right?
And then everybody always knows what to get for you for any gift occasion, but especially at Christmas time.
And what about a hard-to-shop-for gardener? What are some tips or some gardening ideas that maybe you can give a gardener that you may not know exactly which tools to purchase or what they're missing?
I don't. Well, I think some gardening clothing is a good idea. You know, we can always use a new gardening hat. Mine's always getting caught in my roses or whatever, and they have holes in them. Or there's sun shirts that are out there that you can buy that really do protect you from the sun, and that's very important. I laughingly talked about, if you a stocking stuffer, you know, put some sunscreen in the stocking or whatever, you know, to remind you of the importance of that. And garden gloves are always a wonderful gift, whether you're doing the mud gloves that, you know, when you're planting plants and that kind of stuff. And if you have roses, or not even just roses, but, you know, your native plants that are armed and dangerous, those gloves come up almost to your elbow. You can buy sleeves that go with.
And I think people are kind of like, if they never know what to buy for someone, I think a gift card is a lot of really great go way to go for a garden center in a local nursery around town. And if you feel like you still want to add a little something, maybe some inexpensive gloves like you mentioned,
yes,
add that to the gift as well, so it doesn't look so plain that it's just a card that you're giving them, you know. So,
well, and you could tuck that gift card in a pair of gloves. And I've bought gloves before, you know, several in a package of the mutt gloves, mm-hmm, and they're not so expensive that you, when you, they wear out, you can just toss them,
right.
But that makes a nice presentation for your gift, you know, plug them in, just wrap them with a ribbon or tuck them in a little gift bag or whatever. Great stocking stuffers as well. Well, we talk about pecans.
Neat.
When are you going to invent a tool that goes up in the tree that's 40 feet tall? You know, we talk about
it's
hiring
called
a monkey.
A boom truck.
Yes, but you have to be able to get it in your backyard, John. You
well,
know,
they so. Do. They do have these ones now that are wide enough to go through a gate.
Oh, really?
And they Seriously? Will extend up to 70 feet. They have outrigger, you know, where they're held steady. Just cost you about, you know, what, about 40,000 bucks or something?
Is that all?
Oh, 80,000.
Oh, my goodness.
We could rent them.
So,
but seriously, those are
they do
the
have
practical
those
kinds of things. And if, you know, it's wintertime, gardening books, right, gardening literature, I guess, magazines, subscriptions to magazines that people like, all of those kinds of things are.
And if you're a non-gardener, I would just check a look at the author, where they're based, and what the subject matter that they're covering. Because there's a lot of great gardening books, but it can be kind of written
East
in broad
Coast,
strokes.
East Coast doesn't fit,
yeah, exactly. So see where they're based.
Atlanta,
somewhere in the
Georgia.
Southwest is a great way to be exactly. able to introduction.
When there's a number of really good Southwest gardening books that are out there on the market, and you know, and anymore you can Google anything. So it's a really helpful thing to, you know, to go to the internet and see what you can find. And, you know, I know John said, okay, what about for us guys? He wants me to buy him a chainsaw. That probably isn't going to happen. Maybe a pole saw would be a good idea, or even a good pruning saw. You know, because
yeah,
you're getting to the
They're
time,
good.
John, where you need to come to my house and prune, and you need to have appropriate tools and a pruning saw.
Better have a good sharp pole saw
right.
for your place.
Would you? Okay. Well, I have
you
one
told
of those.
Me about the size of your trees.
I know.
We need a... But, pole saw.
It sounds like you're going to start writing IOUs here.
I think
so.
There's your
gifts there, John. I will give you
well, instead of, as a licensed arborist.
Right.
Instead of paying him to do that, then I would, you know, we'll just barter.
We
yeah.
could work
there
on a trained monkey to climb
well,
up there.
We've talked about that many
Pick
times.
Pick the pecans one at a time.
So these are all things that are fun. It's a fun time of the year.
It really is.
We're silly, but that's what makes recording with this group of people so special.
And there are some groups I know that are taking live Christmas trees in. So if you mm-hmm. you know finish your live Christmas tree for the season and want to donate it to an organization, parks or whoever, there are several entities here that are accepting live trees from Christmas. You just don't want to leave your live tree inside more than 2 weeks because it'll start to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cold weather might cause a little damage on it.
Sure.
Right. Or you may just kind of neglect it and just make it a little crispy.
Yeah.
Too.
Make it a brown Christmas tree.
Right, exactly.
A charred brown Christmas tree, huh?
And if you have any questions on where to donate those live trees, we'd be more than able to help you. We can call the Extension office at 771-2354. Well, guys, we're gearing down for the end of the year, and we hope that we've given our listeners some ideas on how to go out there and shop for the gardener in your life.
Oh,
sure. Had a great time taping the show with you all. And thank you, Danny Gonzalez, for engineering and producing our today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good
to grow.